Time to Sigh.
Spend the day with Sigh.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sigh Thursday Live.
Radio Sigh Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram, and a warm welcome to today morning. Today, the beautiful morning. It's a beautiful Thursday morning, and it's 6th March 2014. You are tuned to Morning Glory, coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. At the very outset, I offer myself at the lotus feet of Lord Sai, the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai Global Harmony. Well, the time right now in our studio is 9:50 a.m. I am Raghu, and I'm hosting Morning Glory today on behalf of Sister Karuna, and I'm extremely delighted for this opportunity today. And I hope and pray to Swami that I will do a good job today. Well, the weather for starters continues to be unseasonably pleasant mornings, evenings and overnight. But during the day, the summer is beginning to raise its hot head. Slowly but surely, the temperature are inching their way up each day. Today, we have the lows of 21 degrees Celsius, but it's expected to rise to 34 degrees Celsius in the afternoon. Yesterday evening, at around 7 o'clock, there was a pleasant shower for a while here. So let's find out what's there for today in the second Morning Glory. In the second half of this segment is the in-house Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, Part 2 with KVSK Ganesh. Well, dear listeners, after listening to the first part of this interview with Ganesh, which was aired last week, in which he had narrated how he was mysteriously associated with Bhagwan right from his birth, but came to know about it only later, I am sure you all will be waiting for Part 2. But dear listeners, that will come in a while from now, and you'll have to continue waiting for another half hour. Well, at the top of the hour, we have an equally exciting interview with Dr. Ravi Shankar Polishetty. In fact, today this interview will be part two, and part one of this interview was played last week. But before that, let me give you a brief introduction about him. It was in October 2013 that Bishop Prishti interviewed Dr. Ravi Shankar Polishetty. While Dr. Polishetty has numerous professional accomplishments in his credits, what is most intriguing is his crossover over modern medicine to ancient Vedic medicine known as Ayurveda. This easy navigation through the two hemispheres of healing and health places Dr. Ravi Shankar Polishetty at a unique cusp, and I'm sure that you will find great worth in this conversation, which I am very pleased to play for you now. Well, Dr. Ravi Shankar Polishetty is an alumnus of the Sri Satya Sai Vidya Vihar, Hyderabad, where he did his schooling and later moved to Russia to do his bachelor's in medicine. He is an MD in general medicine, MS in general laparoscopy and laser surgery, and also MS in cardiovascular surgery. As of October 2013, when this interview was recorded, he continued to serve as the head of department cardiology and immunology, ANO Research Institute of Immunopathology, Moscow Medical Academy, Russia. Also, consultant department of cardiology, John Hopkins University, Baltimore, Maryland, USA. Additionally, senior consultant cardiovascular surgery, OOO Money, a private company in Moscow. He has been the former clinical trial coordinator for Arbus Surgical's CA US, as well as a former medical advisor, Speed Wellbeing, Green Templeton College, Oxford University, UK. Well, dear listeners, beside all these positions and responsibilities in cardiac surgery, what is more important is that he is a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan Baba. He is also the CEO and Director of Research and Development, Sai Ganga Panacea, a limited liability company, and this is into serious Ayurveda. In fact, it is Bhagwan who personally directed Dr. Ravi Shankar to pursue Ayurveda, and this happened to be in quite a dramatic fashion. And this indeed has changed his life and channelized all his energies and expertise onto a path he had never imagined before. And as a result, by Swami's grace, he has been instrumental in helping so many patients with serious diseases, find much hope and comfort in their lives. So, dear listeners, as I said, at the top of the hour, we have this interview, which is second part of this conversation. And so, and this also belongs to the series Tryst with Divinity. So, let's listen to Dr. Ravi Shankar Polishetty.
But then Swami has his own design. He used to tell us, I mean, once he told me, until and unless you do my work, I'm not giving you moksha. And I don't know what work that was. But then Swami's scriptures and all which were taught in the school, and Swami said very important thing. He said his purpose, I mean, from what I have gathered. He's got three purposes on this earth. One is dharma rakshana.
Yes.
Bhakta rakshana.
Yes.
Veda rakshana.
Correct.
Then I said, dharma rakshana, bhakta rakshana, none of my businesses, because I'll not be able to do.
Okay.
You can't protect devotees.
You can't protect devotees.
And dharma, if you don't know dharma, what it is, you know, it's
first
such
you
a...
you know what is dharma.
Exactly. We don't even know what is dharma, there's no way you're going to protect them. Then I said, veda rakshana is something that I thought, you know, I can participate, because all the while I said to myself that I need to figure out what Swami wants to do on this earth, and then participate in that job. Because just doing seva was not actually meaning anything to me. I'm just being frank, you know, as he starts. Because seva is, if you take from Sanskrit, seva means sa plus eva is seva, guna sandhi. Sa plus eva becomes seva. Sa is rasovai saha. It's in Sanskrit, kasa krishnadik Sanskrit. There's a definition for sa. Sa, what is sa? Rasovai saha, Bharadwaja Maharshi says. So, rasa. And what is rasa? Nirguna nirakara parabrahma tattvam is the rasa. So, sa is that.
So, sa refers to that indestructible divine.
Correct. That which is beyond all names, all forms, and all attributes. That is rasa. That is sa. Eva. Eva is like. So, seva is a work which when you perform, you become like God.
Wow, that's such a beautiful interpretation.
That
of
is seva, according to the Kasa Krishnadi grammar.
Okay.
So I said, how will I do that work which will make me divine? I don't know. So doing seva, I don't know how to do seva. That's an, I mean, when you delve deep into these things, you end up doing nothing.
Means because they are such profound concepts.
They are very profound. So first you have to understand what is what.
Yeah.
If you don't understand, so that's when I started my, then, you know, all the while in the schools, you know, I always have a competition with the teachers. I always to set my, not the target, the competitor as my teacher. I said, I should know this subject better than my teacher. That was always my target. So then that led me into an arrogance, and then I never used to listen to any teachers, and after the school. And then in the university also, I said, okay, these guys don't know. Because if they knew, they would have been treating patients, and there would not have been so many questions. If there are so many questions, they don't know the answers to these questions, so there's no point learning from them, I thought. So all the while I had been asking Swami only, I mean, virtually.
Yeah.
So Swami has his own way of answering things. So that's how he started answering. And I said, okay, I'll have to first understand Sanskrit to understand Ayurveda. These were the thoughts that came to me when Swami was mentioning about these things.
So once Swami told you that you have to learn about all the organs and...
Yeah. That's when I started thinking.
Thinking.
I said, okay, what did I miss? Okay, I missed Ayurveda. Learning Ayurveda in the proper way. Number one. Number two, integrating all the organs in the body and then arriving at an integrated approach is second thing that I was missing all the while. And then the most important thing is, I don't know what's what word stands for what. So I started learning Sanskrit to understand these texts in the original sense. I mean, because Sanskrit is not just one grammar.
Yes.
People think, you know, people have vague understanding about Sanskrit. It's not as simple as that. You've got to know all the nine grammars. The Indram, Aindram, Sandram, Saraswatam, Kasakrutsnadi, Kaumarakam, Panini. You have to know all these grammars for you to know what this one word means. And when you apply each of these grammars, from each of these grammar principles, then you arrive at 9 meanings for each word.
Oh.
From each grammar text. So 9 grammars will lead you to 81 meanings. Literally,
so one word
will have 81 meanings.
Oh my God.
So that's when I started realizing, because see, the rishis were amazing scientists, amazingly spiritual people. They didn't want to blabber. They never liked to blabber. So that's why, you know, Jagadguru mentions, he gives an excellent way how rishis behave. Why Swami tells so little words and we understand so much? Because it's again according to the principle that Jagadguru Adishankara mentions. Eka matra lagavante putrotsaha manyante vayakarana. Which means, rishis, eka matra is, even if you're able to convey the message of a sentence by reducing one syllable, then the rishis will be so happy, it seems, as if they got an excellent son.
Who, as happy as
if they got a son, they got their own putra. Because eka matra is one syllable. Lagavante, when you reduce your expression by one syllable at least, to convey the same message, then putrotsaham manyante, putra utsaham manyante, vayakarana. Vayakarana, the elderly ones or the sages.
Yes.
So putra, here they mentioned putra. Why putra? Because punnam trayate itihi putraha.
Mm-hmm.
So putra is a person who will be able to save you from the punnama narakam. Because that's the narakam that everyone has to go through.
Okay. Punnam
trayati itihi putraha. So, this is the meaning of
putra. So, putra is one, a son is one who can save you.
Who can save you, who can get you to moksha. That is a son. So, if you're able to convey this message, that's why, you know, rishis have encoded so much of meaning into one word.
There is so much happiness if you can sort of convey multiple things and if you can make a sentence concise.
Concise, yeah.
So, the secret is to unravel everything.
Absolutely,
now.
Yeah. If you're,
so everything
if you're,
is sort of, so many things are packed in one thing.
If you're able to do that. So, see, look at this iPad. Convergence technologies, all technologies are here. So, that's why it's so, I mean, so precise, everyone likes it.
So elegant.
So, our rishis were working on something on convergence of, you know, imparting knowledge.
Yes.
That's what they were.
As you mentioned very beautifully, they didn't want to blabber. They wanted to use Shabda Brahma Maya, as Swami says.
They try to
say Shabda is Brahma. So, Bhagavan should always lay so much emphasis on that. Shabda Brahma Maya, Charachara Maya. Everything is so important.
Absolutely.
I think so they valued every word.
Every word. Yeah, yeah. Because I mean, you don't have so much time to tell so many things. So, you have to tell so many things in lesser time. So, for which you have to use encoded script. And that is what is Sanskrit.
Wow. I think if we look at and try to understand our Vedas now from this perspective.
This perspective.
I mean, imagine if you take the Mantra Pushpam and if you can have 9 or as you mentioned 81 meanings for that word, say Ashwa, for example.
Ashwa, yeah.
Ashwa, if it has 81 meanings.
Yeah, absolutely. We just know one.
And Pushpam, if it has 81 meanings, then what is conveyed in Mantra Pushpam is mind-boggling.
Yes, exactly. Everything that is in Sanskrit is mind-boggling. So that's why all languages, according to me, have come from Sanskrit. According to me. I have to still derive at that, but that's not a part of my expertise or, you know, that's not what I'm trying to do in my life. My target is to somehow fit myself into the Vedarakshana concept of Bhagavan. That's all. So that I become his instrument. I'm still trying to become one.
Yes.
So, with this little bit of introduction into Sanskrit and then understanding, I said, now I'll start reading.
How long did you take to sort of get some mastery
by Swami's grace, you know, literally, I'm not boasting. It took 15 days for me to, you know, talk fluently in Russian. So, with the same zeal and enthusiasm, I said, okay, all these 9 grams will take about 9 months at the max, I thought. Because, I mean, it's all Swami's design. So, and that's all I targeted. But I don't know all the 9 grammars perfectly. I know at least 5 grammars properly.
Okay.
Rest of the 4, you know, I didn't find proper scholars.
Okay.
Because there were some doubts that I could not ask anyone. But I'm still learning them.
Yes.
But then these 5 grammars, they have given me a lot of meaning. Because the Kasakrishnadi and the Panini grammars are extensively used in Atharvana Veda. To unravel Atharvana Veda, you have to know these 2 grammars at least. So that, you know, Atharvana Veda deals a lot of with physics, chemistry, all the secular sciences and also metaphysics. Atharvana Veda.
Yes.
Atharvana Veda imparts you the knowledge of the Sankhya philosophy. From the Sankhya, everything comes. From the Sankhya, you know where the Panchamahabhutas come from. And the interactions of these Panchamahabhutas in the body, they form Vata Pitta Kapha and things like that. You know, all this is from the Sankhya.
Yeah.
And the chemistry, again, Sankhya comes in. Math, Sankhya. Sankhya itself is from math. So, this is how I thought I should start learning Ayurveda. Then, Actually, you know, there's an interesting thing that happened. It's not interesting, actually. It is, it's disastrous, but Swami made it so interesting, actually.
Okay.
Because when I was here, on the 17th or 18th of August night, my parents died. And they went to Manasarovar Kailash.
Uh-huh.
And then they both died. There was an avalanche there, and they both died there.
Oh, my God. This is which year?
In the 1998.
Same
yeah.
Way.
And luckily, all my parents' friends also died there. So that we don't have to look for anyone who would help us back in Hyderabad.
Oh my God.
And then you know what? I mean, that is a disaster, right? But Swami made it so interesting. Isn't it? I mean, because Swami used to talk to me for hours and hours every day. I don't know.
See, so you don't know whether to feel happy or sad.
No, I was feeling happy only. I said, I have no more relatives left. And otherwise, if they die, you know, Swami will again talk to me. Oh my God. No, of course, I felt sad for 15 minutes. I said, oh, now I'll not be able to. No. Parents, they both died together. The first question came to me. Who's going to cook for me, I thought. You know what, that question helped me understand how important are parents. Why Swami says, Matru Deva Bhava, Pitru Deva Bhava is. Because, you know, Swami is in the form of our parents again.
Yes.
Because, you know, the love, I mean, no one else cooked so tasty after that. No. So, some things when you lose, you know, you'll know the value. But then, yes. Ultimately, it's the value that you have to know of everything in the life.
Yes.
I mean, it's not that you will have those things always with you.
Correct.
So, by Swami's grace, Swami made me learn all these things. So,
yes.
The best part of my parents' death was Swami talked to me every day.
At that time,
At
yes.
that time. And then, to cut the whole story short, their bodies, I mean... Only my mother's body was found on the 8th day, and then I had to go to Manasarovar Kailash. I went there. Not the Manasarovar, it's on the way. It's on Pithodagar. And then we did the rites, and and Swami said, "Ay, Tamuni Pillana Machipoku." I forgot my brother, who was in the U.S. at that time.
Okay.
Swami himself said, "No, don't forget about your brother. Call him also," he said. I literally forgot him. Then I did a Sashtanga Padanamaskaram to him. He gave me a lot of boons those 8 days. I can never forget. And then he even said, on the last day, this is very important, the last day, because there was no excavation to be done, it was very difficult for the army or the air force or these choppers to fly in there. So Swami said, you know, it's very difficult. I said, Swami, whatever you decide, I'm not asking anything. In my mind, I decided. Swami will do whatever, it's better to let Swami do.
Correct.
Even otherwise, he will do whatever he wants to do. It's not that he was going to wait for our instructions. But then, when you leave it on, it'll
Correct.
Be easier for you.
Yeah.
That was clear to me. And then, I told Swami, you know, every day he used to ask, you know, I said, Swami, I need to go there, you know, because my relatives, there were some relatives who were still left alive. They said, what are you doing? You know, you're such a insensitive person, thick-skinned, you know, your parents died, you're the elder one. You have to do all these rites. I said, no, Swami's not allowing me to go there. Swami used to ask only question, did you find the bodies? He said. I said, no. I said, then what will you do that he used to ask me. He's just such a practical person, you know, very beautiful God he is. You know? Swami used to ask just this question, and the last day, the choppers went in and then started asking. He said, Swami, it was 4:45 in the evening, Swami came out early, and then, Enti, En Samacharam. I said, Swami, they've started excavating, they're digging, and then the bodies could be found any time. And then, I want to ask your permission before going there. So, I said, Inka kanapadaledu kada. I said, they're still not found, right? I said, no, Swami, they're already working. They might be found any time. And right after the darshan, I'll not have time to, you know, seek your permission. So, I'm seeking your permission now. Said, Em paraledu, you know where I live. Come there. And then he was instructing others. I literally cried. I said, you come there, you know where I live. Any time in the night, I'm available. You just come, take my permission, then leave. I literally cried, and that is, Swami touched me. When I said, Swami, I said, I'll never ever disturb you, Swami. I said, I'll wait for the next darshan, and then only leave. Then Swami's love is so haunting, daunting, overpowering, literally. I just told the Swami, I'll never ever disturb you. That's all I said. But the next day, just an hour before the darshan, my mother's body was found. Swami said, now you go. Then I was like, I quickly took Padanamaskaram, I did a Sashtanga Namaskaram to Swami, and then literally running. Swami said, don't forget to call your brother. So, why I mentioned this was, I went there, and then we did the rites, my brother came in all the way from the US, and then we came back. On the 5th of September, the teacher's day, we came back to Puttaparthi. Swami called us, and my brother and I went to the interview. And Swami said, the first thing he said, Are we kaduddura and will po. I
said, go back.
He said, he asked me to go back. I said, Swami, I said, see, now I have no one to go back, actually. Earlier there were parents to whom I could have gone back, and there are no, their friends also are not there. Most of the friends. Yes. Those who really helped us, who wished well. And then I said, Swami, I have no one to go out. Then I said, no, you should go out. I thought I must have done some serious mistake. I was thinking, Swami, please, Swami, if I had done
something. You just wanted to stay in Parthi.
Yeah, I just wanted to stay for the rest of my life in Parthi. And then Swami said, no. I said, Swami, if I have done some mistake, please excuse me. But please tell me what is my mistake. I'll correct it, Swami. Please don't send me. Then Swami, Are, Yavananda Pambichana. His voice went so low. He said, Ippadavarki Yavananda Pambichana ra nenu? He said, did I ever send anyone out? There's only one way. Swami way, finished. People will come to me, they can never go off. That's what Swami told.
You can only come to Swami.
Yeah. There's only one way, the Swami way, he said. That's what he told us in the interview. We literally fought over this, that Swami wanted me to go out and I didn't want to leave him. But I know he's going to prevail. That's why I said, okay, now I'll... Because there's something called tarka, and then I like the tarka very much.
Argument.
I said, I made a sentence in such a way that everyone, and nothing can break that tarka. I said, Swami, I was sitting down, Swami was sitting in the chair. I said, pointing at Swami's body, then Swami, this body, pointing at Swami's body, and this body, pointing at my body. I said, should be the same distance always, Swami. I said,
this close proximity.
That's all. Because if you say, Swami, I want to be with you always, he said, I'm everywhere, I'll be with you. So I wanted to...
You agree.
I said, this body and this body should be the same distance always. I said,
oh my God.
There's no... Uske koi tod nahi hai. There's no way no one can break that logic. I made sure that no one can break that logic.
And even God would create... You didn't want to... A long discussion to come there, right in the beginning.
No way. So I said, then I wanted to see what Swami is going to say. Because according to me, this logic cannot be beaten, finished. This is the final logic. But then Swami said, Nik hysteria ra, adi pogane potonu.
Yeah.
Your hysteria, like, the moment you get cured from hysteria, you'll leave this place.
Yeah.
But then what Swami mentioned during that discussion was that, there are things that you have to do outside, which... Not that they're not possible here, but Swami or God, the universal God principle, what it does is, according to what I have understood, it goes according to the law of conservation of energy.
Mm-hmm.
If there is some energy somewhere, it uses that energy rather than creating another energy somewhere. Mm-hmm. You understood?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I understood a bit later. For example, now when I look back, I realize that Swami wanted me to go and do research. And instead of creating an entire research institute here in Parthi, he had sent me to those places where that research could be done.
Okay.
So, optimizing the resources that are already created by Swami across the world, across the universe, he's just optimizing those energies. So, that is law of conservation of energy for me. That's what I realized that Swami works.
Yes.
So, but I didn't realize that I was adamant. I didn't leave. But after 13 months, I realized,
So 13 months you were in Parthi?
I was in Parthi.
You were serving or you were just serving darshan?
No, I was working in GH. Yeah.
In the general hospital?
In the general hospital. In the GH, I was going to the super speciality. I was doing ICUs with Dr. Srinivas, Dr. Iyer.
Okay.
Yeah. But my main incentive was to be with Swami.
Okay.
So, that's how my journey from... my lessons from the school, my lessons from Russia and then from Swami led me into actively getting into... I then realized, by November 1999, I realized that, yeah, I want to get into proper Ayurveda. Because the problem with Ayurveda, I started reading Ayurveda already.
Okay.
By which time? While I was still in Parthi.
Hmm.
I realized the problem with Ayurveda is that these concepts are not... explained or not translated into the modern language, into the language of biochemistry, into the language of physiology. Then I thought, let's do some business, make money, and then, that's the idea. We flopped utterly in the business.
Business based on?
Based on IT. IT, yeah. Yeah. My brother was actually doing that. But we did some real good stuff. President of America came to our office. President of India came to our office.
Okay.
So we did presentations to them. And we did some real good projects for the government of AP as well.
Okay.
But Swami's grace, that also flopped.
Mm-hmm.
Then we were left with no money. Then I realized, okay, now the power of God is seen only when you have no resources. So then I went back to Moscow. That's when I said, okay, now the challenge here is that you have no money, but you have to do this. That's the, Swami had, Literally, it was like, whenever I look back into my past, I see this life as if, you know, a great churning has happened. It's like sugarcane juice. Now, the best example for contemporary persons is
yes.
the way sugarcane juice is taken off from
yes.
it. And here, Swami makes sure that none of the sugarcane juice escapes from the sugarcane at all. He rips you apart again and again. He puts you through that churning process.
Mm.
But then I started off with Ayurveda. The thing that I did was, for the first time in the world, the models of Vata, Pitta, Kapha. Because
yeah.
what I wanted to do was to promote Vedas scientifically. But Vedas are so vast. I said, okay, I'm qualified as a doctor to do Ayurveda.
Yes.
And so I took up Ayurveda. And then when I started reading Ayurveda, Ayurveda is written in Sanskrit, as I already mentioned, the Vata, Pitta, Kapha. So these concepts have to be properly translated. Then I started reading them again and again, you know, because how they explain is the beauty of Ayurveda is that there are just three things in the body, the Vata, the Pitta, and the Kapha. Swami also mentioned this many times.
Yes.
If you call it properly, Sama Shavas, 1979, page number 217, second paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
Second line of this paragraph, you can check it out.
Sure.
Swami has mentioned specifically about Vata, Pitta, Kapha. Swami's references are there specifically about Ayurveda. Yes. And he mentions nothing more than this. If Swami mentions that in the body there are just three things.
Of course, there have been many occasions when Swami
has mentioned Swami, about. He's mentioned many times. One of these references.
Yeah.
When I started reading Vata, see, Vata, according to the Ayurveda, is something that each of these, as I said earlier, has six properties. The Vata has a property of Rukshana, Shitala, Laghu, Chalatva, and things like that. When you translate them by simple Panini grammar, you know, that which is cold, that which is dry, that which is light, that which is mobile, it doesn't make any sense. Then I started applying other principles of grammar, and I realized that they're talking something very, very profound. Because Charaka Samhita, I started reading Charaka Samhita, and then in the Charaka Samhita, there is a citation to another book called Rasendra Sara Sangraha. Rasendra Sara Sangraha is everything about chemistry, everything about chemistry. And I was reading the Rasendra Sara Sangraha, oh my God, I said, all my ego shattered in Rasendra Sara Sangraha. Why? Because I always used to think that I know chemistry very well. I knew it now. But then Rasendra Sara Sangraha mentioned specifically that in the chapters 4 to 7, mentions that those days they've already decoded this and they mentioned specifically in the Rasendra Sara, in these chapters, that the body has about 7 million chemicals. It's already mentioned. 5,892 years, according to Swami, ago, it is already mentioned. And what did we do? We have found nothing new.
Till now.
Nothing new. We have found all the 7 million chemicals, and they were already found 6,000 years ago. Then, the Charaka builds up this concept. From this concept, as well, from the Rasendra Sarasangha, he says, so because if you take a simple math, do a permutations and a combination. If, say, for example, in a certain chemical reaction, if two chemicals react to form products, from 7 million chemicals, the possible reactions are, because 2 required, so 1 by 2, according to permutations, into 7 million, into 7 million minus 1, is 24 trillion reactions possible.
Yes.
So Charaka mentions that because integrating the data that you generate from 24 trillion reactions is literally impossible, he says that you have to identify the common attributes of these reactions. And then, he says there are just 18 attributes.
Mm-hmm.
And these 18 attributes are further classified into Vata, Pitta and Kapha. That's the beauty of Ayurveda.
Oh.
It's not that they didn't know all these things. They knew all these things. Mm-hmm. How do I know? Because you look at the stupa that is built in the Ajmer.
Hmm.
That stupa, which was built 2,700 years ago, the Greeks, they write in their book. The Mohammedans, they write in their book called Maktab-e-Islamiya. They try to break that stupa, it seems. But nothing could break it. The metallurgy of that stupa was so complex that they found, how did Indians come up with this, with such a great stupa that could not be shattered or broken by anyone? So many invasions happened and no one could break that stupa. So, for me, when I read the scriptures with this perspective, because all the 7 million chemicals, they knew 6,000 years ago, we're not finding something new. We yes. have actually downgraded ourselves,
yes.
according to me.
Yes.
And then India was a place of advanced civilization and advanced technologies were there.
The only difference, when you look at it now, is the rishis went inside and got all this information.
No, they did both. They did both, actually. They went inside
yes.
and then modeled outside.
Okay.
Because you have all the Vimanas. See, if you look at the Vaimanika Prakaranam,
yes.
that's a part of the Adharvana Veda. That deals with entirely the aircrafts and then the NLOs, I mean the UFOs. These are all mentioned that there is a Tripura Vimana. There are 27 different types of aircrafts, including single passenger aircrafts.
Yes.
I mean, if you look at the way Mahabharata war, I mean, the vest that Arjuna wore was approximately 1,000 kilos. The vest. That's it mentions Vastra, but no one looks further beyond.
Yeah.
The Vastra weighs about 1,000 kilos, it seems. Which means he was wearing not a simple Vastra. This Vastra would wear not more than 1 kilo. So,
but as you mentioned, the Vastra will have 81 meanings.
Means that's true. That's why one of the meanings of Vastra is that one, Va is not. Which is not, Stra is Sa, Ta, Ra, becomes Stra. So, that which is not either Sattvic or Tamasic or Rajasic, which is beyond, is Vastra. So, I mean, it's amazing. When you know Sanskrit, then how do I base it? I'm not a fanatic Indologist or something like that. I have base to talk about this because the Vastra is made, according to Vedavyasa, is made of 16 metals. Mm-hmm. That's what he mentions. He mentions that there are 16 metals, of which we know 9. We could decode 9. The rest of the 7 we don't know, because one of the metal in the Vastra that was worn by Arjuna to defeat a certain Asura, I forgot, you know, Lord Krishna says, you kill this Asura, then only we'll be able to win this war. In that war, Arjuna then wears that vest and he goes chasing this and he goes to all the Atala, Vitala, Satala, Tala, Atala, Rasatala, Patala, and then all these Patala Lokas he goes.
Yes.
Arjuna chases him all the way, and then he goes to the divine worlds also. It's in Bhurbhuva, Suva, Mahajana, Tapa, Satyaloka. Apart from the Satyaloka, every Loka he goes, Arjuna chases, and then he finally catches hold of it, and then pushes him beneath into the Patala.
Mm-hmm.
And then kills him there.
Mm-hmm.
With this Vastra. So how did Arjuna travel all these? According to me, that's a kind of spacecraft that Arjuna was inside. So that which is beyond the Sattvic, Rajasic, Tamasic. So that was beyond space. See, he traveled at the speed of the mind with this Vastra. I mean,
when you look at it, I mean, they are far, far, far more advanced.
They are very advanced. India is not, we're not talking about some primitive civilization. I don't buy this concept at all.
Tune in to Sight. Spend the day with Sight. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Radio Sight Thursday Live. Stay tuned.
Dear listeners, loving Sairams and greetings once again. Thank you for staying tuned with Morning Glory on Thursday Live, coming to you from Prashant Nilayam, the abode of highest peace, the spiritual capital of the universe. Today is 6th of March 2014 and the time right now in our studio is 10:23 a.m. and it's a pleasant morning here at Prashant Nilayam Ashram. I am Raghu and I am hosting today Morning Glory on behalf of Sister Karuna. Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed that Trust with Divinity conversation with Dr. Ravi Shankar Palshetty. It was part two of the multi-part conversation. To listen to the next part of the conversation, stay tuned again next week, same day, same time. If in case you have missed part one of this conversation which was aired last week, don't worry, you can download it from our website, radiosai.org. Well, your feedback and comments is very important to us. You can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. By the way, there are several hundred interesting and insightful interviews with Sai devotees from around the world under our Trust with Divinity series. You can access them all by going to the link radiosai.org/Trist. That is radiosai.org/Trist, T-R-Y-S-T, Trist. So coming up next is the much awaited part 2 of the In-House Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories interview with KVSK Ganesh. But before that, let's listen to a couple of Sai bhajans.
स्मरणं श्रीरामम् प्रातस्मरणं श्रीरामम् मुनिजनसेवित श्रीरामम् मुनिजनसेवित श्रीरामम् प्रातस्मरणं श्रीरामम् आनन्ददायक श्रीरामम् मोक्षप्रदायक श्रीरामम् मोक्षप्रदायक श्रीरामम् भज मनसाये रामम् रामम्
भज मनसाये रामम्
भज मनसाये रामम् रामम्
भज मनसाये रामम्
प्रातस्मरणम् श्रीरामम् मुनिजनसेवित श्रीरामम् प्रातस्मरणं श्रीरामम् आनन्ददायक श्रीराम मोक्षप्रदायक श्रीरामम्
मोक्षप्रदायक श्रीरामम्
भज मनसाये रामम् रामम्
भज मनसाये रामम् रामम्
भज मनसाये रामम् रामम् प्रातस्मरणं श्रीरामम्
तेरो तन मन और धन Of fractures, I had a lot of bruises and I had breathing problems, but it was Baba, Baba, Baba every day. With every breath, with every step I would take while running, it would be Om Shri Sai Ram.
Well, it actually all started with my mother getting a vision of Swami. This was in 1970 when she was cooking.
There were lots of roses and of course tiny little rosebuds which was nowhere ready to bloom. And he just touched it with his finger.
Mm-hmm.
And just like a movie or a video,
mm-hmm.
right in front of my eyes, you know, this rosebud started to get bigger and bigger and bigger and opened out into a beautiful rose.
Love All, Serve All, we've made as famous as Swami has at the Hard Rock because we put it on millions and millions of t-shirts, jackets, buttons, badges, everything. If you got your check, if you work for me at the top, Love All, Serve All, we put huge signs up in every restaurant around the world.
Dressed with Divinity is our weekly series in which we bring you conversations with devotees of Bhagwan Baba from around the globe. You can listen to this on Asia Stream of Radio Sai every Thursday at 9:50 a.m. and 8:30 p.m. To know more about the timings of this weekly series, Tryst with Divinity, on other streams of Radio Sai, please go to the schedule page of our website, radiosai.org. Or you can also download and listen to any interview of your choice in this series at your leisure by visiting the link radiosai.org/tryst. That is radiosai.org/tryst or tryst. Thank you and happy listening. Sai Ram.
Tune in to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. 10:35 a.m. It's a pleasant morning here at Prashanthi Nilayam Ashram. Loving Sai Ram and greetings to all our dear listeners once again. You are tuned to Asia's stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. And today is, this is the Thursday Live, coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam Ashram, the spiritual capital of the universe, the abode of highest peace. I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai, hosting this segment, Morning Glory, in place of Sister Karna. What you heard were a couple of Sai bhajans from the Sai Blossom product, the album Bhavanjali. So dear listeners, now let's come to the icing on the cake of this segment. That is the second part of the in-house Fleeting Moments Lasting Memories episode with KVSK Ganesh. Well, Fleeting Moments Lasting Memories is a series of conversation with former students of Swami's schools and colleges. Born and brought up in Vizag, Andhra Pradesh, India, Ganesh was blessed to join the Sai University in the year 1999 for his undergraduate program that was PSC Physics Honours at the Prashanthi Nilayam campus of Sai University. He continued his studies with MSc Physics, specializing in nuclear physics, and then postgraduate diploma in Indian culture and philosophy from Prashanthi Nilayam campus of Bhagwan's University. His excellence in the PGD CAP, that is Post-Graduation Diploma in Indian Culture and Philosophy, earned him a gold medal from the divine hands of his beloved Chancellor, Bhagwan Baba. There was not an end to his academic pursuits. He went on to earn a second master's degree, this time in Business Administration, graduating from the Sai University again in the year 2007. Well, highly talented Ganesh is a very good dancer, specializing in Bharatanatyam and Kuchipudi dance forms. But more importantly, Swami used to call him dancer. And I always used to tell him that Swami himself calling him, that is God himself calling him a dancer, is an honor which is more valuable than any other honor or award, be it the Bharat Ratna Award or Nobel Prize or whatever it is. Currently, Ganesh works here at Radio Sai in the Telugu department. Well, without taking much of the time, let's continue listening to Ganesh. And what I'm playing for you right now is the second part of the conversation with him. The first part was aired last week. And if you have missed it, don't worry, you can download it from our website. Okay, so let's continue listening to Ganesh now.
And following this was the next opportunity which Swami had given me. It was in the month of July that Swami gave me the first opportunity to dance. It was during a Purnachandra session. Those times PC session used to be there. And it was July 23rd, I remember. In the morning, Swami had asked Warden Sir to call all the boys for the Purnachandra session, where only a few VIPs
and just
students.
A closed door session in the auditorium.
In the auditorium. So, Sir was thinking of some interesting programs to be put up before Swami. And that time I took the courage of asking our Warden Sir that, Sir, anyhow, there is a special session only for students. Can I dance before Swami?
So you were persistent.
Yeah,
huh?
Obviously that was my Guruji's dream. I had to fulfill it.
Yeah.
So
good for you.
So then, warden said, well, okay, because Swami had already told you that he'll give an opportunity. You be ready.
We'll see.
If a chance comes, you do.
Okay.
So I got ready with my costume and all those things. And
where did you get the costume from?
I had it with me.
Oh, you brought it from
my entire kit. I got. So CG Sai Prakash, my room leader, he was there along with me in that session. He was supposed to play sitar. So I was sitting somewhere in the corner of Puru Chandra, and the session was going on down. Swami finished his discourse, and then he was asking Inka Yemundi.
What else?
What else is there? That time boys started singing some songs. So from this corner, I was having gungurus on my legs.
Oh, the bells.
Anklets, yeah. Then my room leader told me, hey, why are you sitting here? Go slowly in front of Swami. Because I still had not got the permission from warden, sir.
Okay.
So slowly, without making much of noise, I went closer to Swami. But those gungurus had made a lot of noise, and suddenly Swami turned. And his eyes lit up. Because he saw a different creature altogether, fully decked up, altogether different from the people who were sitting there.
Everybody in white and white, and here you were in some gala dress
jazzy makeup
and everything.
I was fully dance costume.
Like
it was a full dance costume, Kuchipudi dance costume.
Hmm.
Then Swami called me, Ekkadi nunchi teesukochao? From where did you get all this? I told Swami, from home I got. Then Swami asked me, will you dance? Yes, Swami, I will dance. And that was the moment I was waiting for all through these 2 years. Then that point of time, still I was fledgling in Swami's fold, that I didn't know the importance of the proximity of Swami. Swami asked me, will you dance here or there? That was, Swami was pointing towards the stage of the Purnachandra. Obviously, I had got used to dancing on so many stages, platforms, that I told Swami, I'll dance there.
On the stage.
On the stage. So the first dance that I did in front of Swami was Dashavataram dance. So after 5 avatars, Swami was watching so intently. After watching 5 avatars, Swami told stop, and I came down. He blessed me with Pad Namaskar. And that point of time, after the entire thing got over, I felt that I should have danced in front of Swami.
Yeah,
right?
Because he was below on the main floor.
Yeah. So he had further plans, of course. The next day what happened was, Swami came, he finished his interview, he called warden sir, Shivashankar Sai sir, and he asked, who are the people who performed yesterday? Then he was looking out for, there was one boy who had spoken in front of Swami, and I danced, and our brother Ashwat Narayan, it was a debut for both of us, this was the first time we were singing,
he was singing
and I was dancing. It was July 23rd.
2001.
So, Swami called both of us. He saw the speaker who had spoken. He was a very fat boy. And I too had put on weight because I had stopped dancing for a long time. For almost 1.5 years. Swami called the warden sir and told, see, this boy is supposed to dance. He is not supposed to be so fat. You should ensure that he goes for jogging and does exercise regularly. These were the words of Swami. And till date, I still do my exercises
and I go for jogging.
Yeah. So, these were the experiences which I had in the second UG. But the most memorable and life-changing incident happened the coming month. Many people will be remembering, in the year 2001, there were heavy rains in Puttaparthi. Heavy means really heavy rains. And one darshan evening, Swami had finished the interview and he came in front of the boys and he asked, Yentamandi Chachipoyaru?
Meaning?
How many people died in hostel?
Oh.
Like that Swami was asking. And it was like a shock to the boys. The people whom Swami was speaking to regularly, that boy, when Swami went back inside the interview room, he came and told the warden, sir, Swami has asked like this. We have to be careful. Something like that he was telling. And then the bhajan was about to start. It was 1:55. Just 1 minute left. Usually that time Swami never comes down the throne. Suddenly he got up from the bhajan hall throne and he briskly walked towards the fourth block where the students sit. After the path, Swami stopped at one particular student. He looked at him and he came back for bhajans. And it started raining so heavily that it was pouring inside the Kulwant hall also. So as soon as Swami finished Aarti, he had sent word to Kulwant hall that none of the boys, none of the devotees should move out of the premises because it's raining very heavily. Tell them to be inside Mandir. Only after the rain stops, people have to go out. So before we got that message itself, I had loved always to go out in the rain. And so three students, I was among them. Two were very close friends. One boy named Dhru Sahani and other boy named Guru Raj. So all three of us had come out. So the boy whom Swami looked at before the bhajans was this boy named Dhru Sahani.
Mm-hmm.
So we were coming very fast to the hostel and it was raining very heavily. We came till the institute gate when you enter the Hillview Stadium, the main entrance. That time we were walking on the primary school side and there was a big stream of water which was flowing from this end of the road to the other end. So what happened was these two boys were going front and I was almost 100 meters away from these boys. So this Dhru Sahani's slipper had got washed away into the water. It was going along with the stream. So he ran to catch his slipper. So it went so fast that it even crossed the higher secondary school, and in front of the space theater, there was a small drain which was going on, flowing. So the slipper went into that drain and he tried to catch that slipper. And suddenly what happened, without his knowledge, he touched one of the electric poles over there.
My God, live wire.
Live wire. So he was getting electrocuted. So to rescue this boy, this Guru Raja had run. But it was, I think, too late. When he was about to touch that boy, he was thrown back with such a force. It was a surprise actually. When he was about to catch that boy, he was thrown out. And he fell on his head. So nothing happened to this boy. So seeing the boy getting drowned inside water, I left my books on the other side of the road near Ishwarama school and I started running towards that boy. And when I entered the water, I could feel that the current was, it was, the entire water was electrocuted and I couldn't move. And by the time I stretched my hand, the boy's full body went into the water. He was totally electrocuted. So I was trying to come out of the place. And I was shouting, Swami, Swami, Swami. And I was in water. Suddenly, to my utter amazement, by the time I opened my eyes, I was on the other side of the road. And it was like, I didn't know how I was there on the other side. I was just shouting out, Swami, Swami. And that boy, Dhru Sahani, he passed away. But in that particular incident, Swami had called the parents of that boy. And that boy had always had a desire to merge with Swami. And Swami gave the parents an interview and he told, see, he didn't run after his slipper. He ran after Ramacharan. He was seeking God so much that he merged in him. He merged in me. Those were the words of Swami. And this was like a second life to me. Both of us were supposed to go along with that boy that evening. And if I am sitting here, it's utterly the grace of Bhagwan that he had given me a second life.
And how important it is to pay heed to Swami's advice. He had said not to leave the Kulwant hall.
Yes. So whatever Swami tells, we have to follow it. That's all. That's what I can say.
No need to bring in your rational mind and say, I can manage, it's okay, we can.
It's better not to think when Swami tells something. That's what Swami tells. The only obstruction between you and me is your mind. So this was.
Did Baba talk to you about this incident later on?
After this incident, 1 month after this, Swami had come to the hostel for a visit. And then when he was giving his discourse, he called the other boy, this Guru Raja. He called him and Swami spoke to him. He also happened to try to save this boy. So Swami had blessed that boy. Swami never spoke to me about this incident any time.
I see. Now, how did you become a regular performer, the coach dancer in Prashanthi Nilayam, the Kulwant hall dancer? Slowly and steadily you moved your way up.
Actually, after this performance in the PC session, the first time I performed in 2nd UG, I had a very, very long break. Swami had given some time for me to settle down, understand him, try to get into the system. So when I was in my UG, I was not so perfect in my behavior and in my dress code. Whatever used to come to my hand, I used to just pick up and go. But in my first year post-graduation, Swami started calling me dancer. And he never called me by name. He always called me dancer, dancer. So it happened that in my first year MSc, Swami had continuously taken 45 of my letters. 45 days continuously.
Same thing. I love you, I want to dance?
No. Already I had danced in front of him once. So some more things which came to my heart, I used to write in letters. And that time I was like a form boy. So Swami had sown the seed for a bright future in that formative years, in the first year MSc. And with those interactions with Swami, I entirely changed my etiquette. My seniors used to guide me a lot. You have to dress properly when you go to Swami and all such things. So that's how...
Neat and tidy and everything.
Yes. When you see a Sai student, he should be tip-top. He should look like Swami. So neat and clean, and both in behavior as well as in the code of conduct, whatever. So in this first PG, Swami had first time blessed my gungurus. This was a new pair
dancing
of...
dancing bells.
Yes,
Frankie.
Dancing anklets. So that was the first blessing for me. And this was during the winter vacation time. I had bought a new pair of anklets. Swami blessed it and he went inside the interview room. Then after he finished the interview, first interview, he came out. I was sitting somewhere in the third line. He called me and asked, just now I blessed the anklets. Did you try it on? Then I just felt that immediately I have to try it and see whether it is suiting me or not. So when Swami went inside the interview room for the second round, I just rushed to the hostel on somebody's cycle. I wore the gungurus. I danced for some time, for 5-10 minutes, and I felt that was very comfortable for me. And I came back and sat in my place. So Swami finished the interview and he came out. Again he looked at me and asked, did you try? Then I boldly went to Swami and told Swami, I tried. It's good. It's fitting me. And the next time, again there was a big gap. It was our gratitude program day in our second year post-graduation in my MSc. That one of our classmates had told, why don't you dance in front of Swami? It was a long time back that you did. I told, if you all agree, I'll do. So that was the first time I had danced for a thematic. Previously, we used to do only for songs. This was a special letter written to the boys by Swami. The letter is titled as Think of Me.
Okay.
So, that was the poem for which I danced. And Swami had given us this gratitude program opportunity inside the bhajan hall. So, as soon as I got up for dance, when they announced that this boy is going to dance, Swami immediately turned, without even seeing me, towards S.V. Giri sir and told, see, my dancer is going to dance now. And that was really a
what an honor.
Very, very pleasant surprise for me because it was a long time that Swami had spoken to me.
And then called you his dancer.
Yeah. And I had danced and Swami blessed me with Padnamaskar. In the evening, Swami sent word that the second PG boys should continue their program. This was a rare opportunity because we have never seen a second PG gratitude program put up a second time. So, evening we had come again for darshan. There were some more songs which were left. So, we were singing those songs. Because my dance was in the first part of the program. As I finished it in the morning, I was sitting right at the end of the third block. So as soon as the boys finished singing the group songs, Swami called one of the members in the group and asked, where is that boy who danced in the morning? So immediately that boy called me and from the last row I came front and Swami asked, will you dance again? And I told Swami, yes, surely. Then I turned towards the boy who read the commentary for the dance. Unfortunately, that boy did not get the script along with him. So he tried 2-3 sentences, but he forgot the sequence.
Okay.
Then Swami looked at that boy and told, I think you don't remember the sequence. And he looked at me and told, you continue.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have to mug the entire sequence. It has to be in my mind to depict it. So I was telling out all the lines and I was depicting there itself. Then Swami
in your whites and whites. You were not dressed to dance.
I was wearing just a kurta and I was doing the entire dance. And Swami was very, very happy, and he blessed me with Vibhuti. That was...
So back to back, two programs.
Two programs, morning one and evening one.
Wonderful. What a nice day in your life.
Yes. So this was again the restart of the dancing.
No, you were so keen to dance for Swami. When were you studying nuclear physics? You're supposed to be doing a master's in physics. On the side, were you studying as well, Ganesh?
It was like more of a cultural course for me rather than an academic course.
But you did well for yourself academically, yes, as yes, well, yes. I guess.
Because Swami always tells you should not excel in one and do bad in the other fields. You should equally excel in all the fields. That is the difference between Swami students and the students outside. Because people focus on one thing and they go ahead doing that. But it's totally different ball game altogether when we are with Swami.
Yeah, he doesn't believe in over-specialization in just one single area at the expense of the rest of your personality.
So it's a churning process for all to become into a complete personality. So I was obviously studying. No. I was working hard for my studies.
Very trying. Important question. Was Professor G. Venkatraman your professor at any point in time?
No.
Not at that time?
No, only for the awareness class he used to come for us.
Okay. He was not teaching physics then?
No, he was not teaching physics.
I see. So Ganesh, I understand the year you did your postgraduate diploma in Indian culture and philosophy, that was quite special for you. Bhagwan blessed you with a number of creations.
Yeah, everything started from the Ganesh Chaturthi day.
Ah, the remover of obstacles, and that is your name.
Yes, yes. And it was this fine day when boys were planning for a program in Mandir during Ganesh Chaturthi celebrations. And on Ganesh Chaturthi day, I happened to prepare a small piece sung by M.S. Amma.
M.S. Subbalakshmi, the famous...
Ganesh Pancharatna Kriti. And then I happened to sit in the front line.
So you prepared a little dance?
Yes. Okay. It was a 5 minutes presentation. So as a part of the big presentation, this was a dance clip. So after my dance was over, Swami was watching very keenly throughout the dance. And after the entire presentation was done, Swami called our leader who was coordinating the entire program. He asked him, who is the boy who danced? I was just right sitting in front of him. But even then he called the right person. Then the boy pointed towards me and Swami called me. Then he sent that boy back. He asked me, do you like Ganesha? Obviously, I do like Ganesha.
I'm his namesake.
Yes. Then Swami told, do you worship him? I told, yes, Swami, I worship him. Then Swami told, sit. Then I sat just next to him. It was around 5-10 minutes when prasadam started coming and boys came for prasadam blessings. The distribution started and bhajans were going on. And Swami, so lovingly, he was looking towards me. I was sitting right side of him. And slowly, again he looked at me. He called me and told, do you like Ganesha? Yes, Swami, I told. Then Swami waved his hand in his usual style. And then out came a beautiful idol of Ganesha, golden idol of Ganesha. And it was so very beautiful, as his creation is always beautiful. And when I observed the Ganesha, I thought whenever Swami gives some idol to any devotees or whoever it is, Swami usually asks them to worship it. So the immediate question that struck to me was, Swami, should I do puja for it every day? And the answer which Swami gave was a big revelation for me. In the student days, it's not so easy to do a continuous puja, staying in the hostel and all that.
Because your schedule is so tight, don't have a moment to spare.
Yes. Then Swami told, Andarki chupinchi anandaparchu.
Meaning?
Show it to everybody and make them happy. And this is like the greatest boon. And whenever I go somewhere outside Parthi, I always carry it along with me. And whomever I come across, I show it to them. And they find so much joy in looking at Swami's Ganesha.
May I ask how big it is, Ganesh?
It's 1 inch.
One inch. Like a gold metal Ganesh.
Golden Ganesha.
Golden Ganesha. And is it just the bust or the entire Ganesha?
The entire Ganesha. And to my utter surprise, the features of that Ganesha exactly match the one which was there behind Swami in the portico.
Oh, okay. And which is now by the big gate, the Gopuram gate.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. The same Ganesha. And it was a marvel of a creation. The features were so fine that we could see the Yajnopavitam of Ganesha. behind.
The sacred thread was sacred visible in a 1-inch idol.
Yes.
So detailed.
And the Mushika was so clearly looking towards Ganesha.
Oh, the mouse.
Yes. And the Modakas in Ganesha's hand.
So clear.
So much in such a small place.
Master craftsman.
Yes.
And so every day you have darshan of this Ganesh?
Yes. Now, as my parents are here, it's there in our altar. But whenever I go outside Parthi, I happen to take it and I show it to whomever I come across.
Oh, beautiful. That's so nice for Ganesh to have his very own divinely created Ganesha.
Thank you, thank you.
Your dance was always of interest to Swami. Something happened on Independence Day also, right?
Yeah, that was the first time when the second year postgraduate boys were performing an Independence Day drama on August 15th. And they asked me to do a small dance presentation on Swami's voice. Swami was singing this particular padyam, Khanda Khandantara Khyati Narjinchina, means it's in praise of Bharat Mata. And that happened to be one of my favorite padyams of Swami. So I prepared for 3 nights. I just loved it performing before Swami. So as I was performing and Swami was enjoying, Badhya Tantayo Mide Bhaktulara, one line comes there. It's the duty of all you people Bharatiyas. Swami beckons to the entire world to take care of the glory of Bharat. So that was the moment I was performing, and one of my friends who was sitting next to me, watching the program and Swami, he told, tears were rolling down Swami's eyes as this padyam was going on. And such is the love Swami had for his motherland. That was what I felt. So after the program got over, during the photograph session, when the group photos were taken, I was wearing a long kurta.
As part of your dance costume?
Yes. Swami called me personally and looked at the kurta and told, why is it so long? Told Swami, it has to cover the entire body so that it looks decent. Then Swami told, next time, you wear a sari and dance.
Okay.
So I felt it was a joke.
Uh-huh.
And everybody knows whatever Swami speaks has to come true.
It's got a meaning always.
And this was like a premonition for me. During the sports meet of 2005, we happened to do a Shivatandavam dance. A group of 60 people, uh-huh, with Shiva and Parvati holding the stage behind the Ganas. And a song was specially composed for that. And an experienced person was got for choreographing that. And as I am short, I could not take the lead role of Shiva.
So you became Parvati?
Yeah.
And you wore a sari?
I wore a sari. And I didn't realize that Swami had given an indication before. When the entire program was over, one of my friends called me and asked, do you remember during the Independence Day drama, Swami asked you to wear a sari? And that was when I got reminded of what Swami had told.
Just clicked, huh?
Yes. And Swami really, he enjoyed that particular performance. And after the sports meet dance got over, in the end, usually all the highlight performances, the major role players are sent to Swami to offer their pranams. So I was going as a part of our team, myself, Shiva and Shanmuka. So 3 of us were walking on the stage right in front of Swami. And Swami looked at the VIPs and told, see, my dancer is coming. And it gave me such a joy. That was one of the most memorable experiences.
Oh, I bet it was so beautiful for, yes, Swami to acknowledge you, yes, as one of his dancers. Yes. Beautiful.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
5 minutes past 11 a.m. It's a fine morning here at Prashant Nilayam Ashram. Loving Sairams and greetings to all the listeners of Radio Sai Global Harmony once again. This is the segment Morning Glory, and I am Raghu hosting this segment in place of Sister Karuna. And this live broadcast is coming to you from Prashant Nilayam Ashram, the abode of highest peace, the spiritual capital of the universe. Well, dear listeners, you just heard the second part of this multi-part fleeting moments lasting memory interview with Sai University alumnus KVSK Ganesh. In conversation with him was Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi. And I'm sure you all are enjoying this conversation. Part 3 of this conversation will be aired next week in the segment Morning Glory. Well, the best part of the conversation that I felt and I liked is Swami calling Ganesh as my dancer. Wow, isn't it awesome? In fact, I feel it's the biggest honor that anyone can get. Swami himself, that is God himself, calling him as my dancer. In fact, I feel it's an honor more greater than an honor or award like Bharat Ratna Award or Nobel Prize. Well, dear listeners, we are looking forward to your feedback to this conversation. As always, you can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. And we also invite you to browse through a repository of engaging, inspiring and humorous moving interviews with several hundred Sai students, all of which are free downloads at our website radiosai.org/Sai students. In fact, this shortcut, that is radiosai.org/Sai students, will take you straight to the long list of interviews that are yours to enjoy at leisure. With that, dear brothers and sisters, I would like to thank you for your company. I hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Morning Glory on Thursday Live. I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai, and I hosted this segment in place of Sister Karuna, who is away today, for today. I also thank Swami for giving me this opportunity to host this segment today. After an inspiring interlude, I'll be back in a couple of minutes for hosting the next segment, that is Service Love in Action. Jai Sai Ram.